Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2443 with a release date of Friday, August 23rd, 2024, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A Chinese rocket spews fragments of debris into space. A new repeater fills an MCOMS gap in Canada. And Newsline celebrates this year's Young Ham of the Year in Huntsville. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2443 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Union, Kentucky, here's Neil Rapp, WB9 VPG.
We begin this week's report with a rocket launch that has created a mess in space. The recent launch of China's Long March 6A rocket, which sent 18 broadband internet satellites into polar orbit, has added to the proliferation of space debris. A malfunction of the rocket's upper stage sent more than 700 fragments into a high orbit of 800 kilometers. According to a report by the AMSAT News Service, their orbital decay will take at least 25 years. The satellites themselves are part of the new constellation by Shanghai Spacecom Satellite Technology. Known as Thousand Sails, the constellation is expected to expand to include as many as 14,000 satellites. It is considered a direct competitor to Starlink, Project Kuiper, and OneWeb. Friendships are high on the list of things that many of us value in amateur radio, and a recent get-together in Europe for one group of YLs marked a chance to renew that sisterhood. And to get on the air, of course, Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has that story.
5 summers after they had first successfully celebrated their friendship and shared love of amateur radio, an international group of 22 YLs returned to the contest station in Moravia in the Czech Republic, where it had all begun. Eva, HB9FPM, believed it was time for an even bigger event at the top-class contest station OK5Z, where YLs from 11 nations gathered between the 4th and the 10th of August. Using the call sign OL88YL, they chased DX from the massive antenna farm and taking the time to learn how to build their own dipoles under the guidance of Marcus, HB9HVG, and Andreas, HB9JOE. The 20 and 15 meter antennas were then tested over the next 2 days at 3 SOTA summits that were also part of the Worldwide Fauna and Flora Award scheme. There were moments of celebration too when Hans, PB2T, of the Yasmir Foundation presented their excellence awards to Raisa, R1BIG, for her promotion of amateur radio on her YouTube channel. When not on the air, the YLs toured places rich in the region's cultural history. For those travelling from Poland, Japan, Luxembourg, Turkey and the UK, the Russian Federation and elsewhere, the long 5-year wait to be together again ended happily. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
For a short look at how the YLs spent their time, follow the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. Two AMSAT organizations are planning major gatherings in October, spaced just 2 weeks apart. Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, tells us about them both.
Satellite enthusiasts have a busy 2 weekends in October, starting with the AMSAT UK Space Colloquium and Annual General Meeting being held on the 12th and 13th of October. At the same time, the Radio Society of Great Britain holds its convention. Organizers have said they will release details about the topics being covered closer to the event. Meanwhile, registration has opened for the 42nd Annual AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting, which is taking place in Tampa, Florida, on the 25th and 26th of October. The weekend will also include an AMSAT Ambassador Breakfast on the morning of October 27th. Organizers are looking for presenters on a variety of topics for the symposium and are asking for anyone interested to immediately submit a working title for their talk. Final copies of the presentations are due no later than the 18th of October, so they can be included in the proceedings. Send all submissions to Dan Schultz, N8FGV, at n8fgv@usa.net. The symposium will be held on Saturday the 26th, the same day as the annual general meeting. This is Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
The Voice of America has plans to cease operations in the Northern Mariana Islands. We have more on that story from Ralph Squillaci, KK6-ITB.
Citing a shrinking listener audience, high costs of operation, and lingering damages inflicted by a Category 5 super typhoon in October of 2018, the Voice of America has decided to discontinue transmissions from its shortwave station in the Northern Mariana Islands. The Saipan and Tinian sites being silenced are part of the Robert E. Camosa transmitting station. The United States Agency for Global Media has made use of the station for multi-language programs from Voice of America and Radio Free Asia. William Martin, director of the U.S. Agency for Global Media's Transmitting Stations and Operations Division, said in a public statement, quote, "After decades of operation, these facilities are being phased out as shortwave audiences migrate to other media. Although these closures mark the end of an era, they are also bittersweet, as in closing these stations, we also say farewell to the people and communities that supported our mission for so many years." End quote. Martin himself had been the station manager from 2013 to 2019. The Saipan sites started broadcasting in 1982, Tinian in 1999. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6-ITB.
A longtime member of the development team for the N1MM logger has become a silent key. We hear about him from Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
Lawrence William Gautier Jr., K8UT, was a DXer, a software expert both professionally and in ham radio, and an involved, community-minded Michigan resident. An accomplished and award-winning DXer, he was also deeply committed outside of radio to such activities as scouting and assisting community nonprofits with their websites. Larry became a silent key on the 13th of August. First licensed as a ham since 1968 with the call sign WB8BGO, Larry strove to harness the software expertise of his professional career to assist his fellow ham radio operators. He became part of the team that developed the popular N1MM logger, most recently offered his support by helping keep the documentation up to date and maintaining the website. He belonged to the Southeast Michigan DX Association and the South Lyon Amateur Radio Club. Larry was 73. This is Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
Amateurs in New Zealand and DXers around the globe are mourning the loss of a noted DXer and friend. We hear about him from Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Like most other accomplished DXers, Ron Falconer, ZL4RMF, was well known for a signal that circled the globe. He was also known for an equally strong devotion to the contacts he made. Friends say Ron was never one to chase awards. What he valued were the many QSOs and the bonds that grew out of them. Ron, who had ongoing health issues with pulmonary fibrosis attributed to a lifetime of farming, became a silent key on the 3rd of August, according to his nephew, Murray Falconer. His friend and fellow team member for the NZART Jock White Field Day, John Graham, ZL4RO, recalled Ron as, quote, "a DXer, contester, netmaster, and rag-chewing expert," end quote. Friends recalled that Ron became known for his carefully set up shack in the pursuit of the joy of DX. John wrote, quote, "his call sign often appeared on the QRZ DX list. No mean feat to achieve." Many hams visiting New Zealand made a point of coming to visit Ron at his QTH. They were made very welcome and a shack tour was mandatory, end quote. Ellen Hayes, ZL4MD, said that Ron had more than 10,000 confirmed contacts across 161 countries. His friends worldwide were the awards he earned, and he always took time to nurture a love for radio in younger operators. Martin Balch, ZL4JH, secretary of NZART's Otago branch, said Ron might even take a visit to the UHF-VHF bands if communications help was needed locally, such as at a car rally. His nephew Murray said that in the end, Ron was cared for at home by his nieces and nephews as his health worsened. Murray said this enabled him to, quote, "continue his radio passion right up to and including the day he passed," end quote. Ron died just short of his 72nd birthday. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K6 PVR repeater in Ventura, California, on Sundays at 6:30 p.m. local time. Newsline met up with Grace Pape, K8LG, in Huntsville recently. Listen as Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, tells us how we celebrated this year's Young Ham of the Year.
On Saturday, August 17th, it was my honor to present the 2024 Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award to 18-year-old Grace Pape, K8LG, at the Huntsville Ham Fest.
Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody. I really want to give a shout out to the Westchester Amateur Radio Association who nominated me for this award. I didn't realize that they had nominated me. I'm really a part of that club as well as many others. The Holland Amateur Radio Club I'm very a part of, and they support me and everything. As Don said, I'll be attending Cedarville University studying electrical engineering, and amateur radio really has impacted my choice and a career. That's about it.
Grace exemplifies the spirit of the award, recognizing youth who are using amateur radio to further the state of the hobby and make the world a better place. Newsline's founder, Bill Pasternak, would be very proud of Grace, as we all are. Many thanks go out to our corporate underwriters who make it possible for us to continue Bill's vision. Yaesu USA, Heil Ham Radio, and Radio Waves Antennas. Also, our thanks to the Huntsville Hamfest Committee and volunteers for giving the award a home since 1993. If you know of a young radio amateur who you feel is deserving, we encourage you to nominate them for the 2025 award. The nominations will open up on March 1st of next year, and we hope to see you at the presentation next year on August 16th in Huntsville, Alabama. Congratulations, Grace, and welcome to the Newsline Young Ham of the Year family. We couldn't be more proud. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
With International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend concluded for 2024, organizer Kevin Mulcahy, VK2CE, reports that operators are already making plans for next year and have registered 30 lighthouses so far. He said that entities from the U.S., Germany, Aruba, Trinidad, and Tobago were on this year's list, as were four entities from Israel near the West Bank of the Gaza Strip. Kevin said that he was pleased to have had 400 entries this year, given the conflicts and unrest around the world. He told Newsline, quote, "another big plus for ham radio and lighthouses," end quote. An amateur radio club has helped fill a gap in an emergency communications network in British Columbia with a much-needed repeater. We have that story from Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
A missing piece in emergency communication for the valley and backcountry surrounding Canada's Wells Gray Provincial Park has finally been put into place. A new repeater station is up and running after hours of work by members of the Wells Gray Amateur Radio Club in Clearwater. It has become a vital part of a network that already serves such communities as Upper Clearwater, Mahood Lake, and Clearwater Lake in the event of rescues, missing persons reports, or natural disasters. The park itself is in a wild natural area of the Thompson-Nicola region of Interior British Columbia. The hams provide communication support to first responders, such as those in the Upper Clearwater Volunteer Fire Brigade. The communication network also serves the Blackpool Fire Rescue and other fire departments around the valley. The club treasurer, Cliff Olson, VE7EIN, told the Clearwater Times website that having a more robust system allows for better network planning. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Competitors in the award scheme known as HEMA are getting ready for a big weekend event at the end of this month. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us what's involved.
Adventure radio enthusiasts have been waiting for the 31st of August and the 1st of September, the weekend that marks the official launch of the HEMA Awards program in New Zealand. Hams there are making a special effort on this debut weekend to fill their logs and are hoping for some trans-Tasman H2H contacts with Australian radio amateurs. Operators around the world wanting to earn HEMA awards should go to the HEMA website at hema.org.uk. The website contains a full explanation of how HEMA works. New Zealand hams will be able also to upload their logs to ontheair.nz, that's ontheair one word, .nz, so they can compare their progress towards awards against other ZL hams. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
In the world of DX, a special call sign 4A2MAX is on the air through the 31st of August in CW, sideband, and the digital modes on various bands. The activation is in remembrance of St. Maximilian Maria Kolbe, SP3RN, the Franciscan friar, killed at Auschwitz by the Nazis on the 14th of August in 1941 after he volunteered to take the place of a condemned Polish army sergeant. Father Kolbe was a shortwave operator and is considered to be the patron saint of amateur radio. For QSL details, visit QRZ.com. Listen for Uli DO4UB, who is on the air from Arusha, Tanzania, using the call sign 5H2MUA on 15 and 10 meters sideband, QSL via DO2HQS. You can find Adam M6NXW on the air as 9G5AS from Bremen, Ghana, from the 26th of August to the 5th of September. Adam will be operating QRP on 20 through 10 meters using sideband FT8 and FT4. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Alex SQ9UM is operating holiday style as D4UM from Sal Island, IOTA number AF086, Cape Verde, until the 26th of August. Alex, using CW sideband FT8 and FT4, can be found on 80 through 6 meters, QSL via his home call. Our final story is about a broadcast engineer with a lifelong love of both the professional and the amateur side of things. He recently retired and was honored for his lifetime of good work. We hear more about him from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Carl Sampieri, N4NRE, is credited with having built most of the broadcast stations in the Tennessee Valley. It was all part of a lifelong vocation from which he recently retired. The Alabama radio amateur has a long and distinguished career as a broadcast engineer. This month, it earned him the distinction of being Engineer of the Year, an honor conferred by the Alabama Broadcasters Association. Carl's lifelong commitment to radio began when he was 18 and got his first-class radio telephone license. Then, entering the U.S. Air Force, he became an airborne radio repairman. Commercial radio set the stage for the rest of his life starting in 1967 at stations WRSA and WSLV. As a military veteran, he moved back to Huntsville, Alabama, to a TV engineering job. He later worked as chief engineer for a public radio station for almost two decades. When he retired recently, Carl had been serving as a longtime engineer at the cluster of iHeart radio stations in Huntsville for more than a quarter of a century. According to his biography on the Alabama Broadcasters Association website, Carl is now concentrating on doing some renovations to his century-old house and getting some work done on a pair of amateur radio towers behind the house. At long last, he has the time to put the home back into homebrew. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
If a good day of radio is like poetry to you, pick up a pencil and join the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. Share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. Sorry, but we cannot accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to the Alabama Broadcasters Association, Ambarish Nag Biswas, VU2JFA, AMSAT News Service, Amateur Radio Daily, the ARRL, Clearwater Times, CQ Magazine, David Bihar, K7DB, the Deccan Herald, 425DX News, HEMA.org.uk, Matt ZL4NVW, Murray Falconer, NASA, QRZ.com, Radio World, ShortwaveRadio.de, Times of India, the Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners at Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Union, Kentucky, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024. All rights reserved.